Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. Hope you're doing well. Today we're going to talk about something a little bit different than what we've normally talked about, because I've gotten a lot of emails from you asking similar questions of, should our children and grandchildren go to college? If so, for what? If not, what should they do? What's other alternatives? The World Economic Forum tells us that in 15 to 20 years, 90% of all jobs will be obsolete. 90%. They'll be automated by computers and robots. Well, when we see that's coming, we need to prepare differently for the future than we normally have. This is a topic that's very important to me, so I'm going to share a lot of information that even if your children are grown, even if you already are in a job or working for someone else, it'll be interesting things for you to think about, because I think we need to start thinking differently than the way we have been, because things are changing dramatically, so we can't keep doing what we've always done, or things aren't going to turn out the same as we had planned for them to turn out. But anyway, thank you for joining me again. Those on the different platforms watching, please consider subscribing at agendaweekly.com to get all the other resources we provide every week. But thank you again. Traditionally, I remember when I was growing up, people said, if you want to be somebody, you have to go to college. And so everybody almost went to college, not realizing that it might not be a fit for everybody. Or had college changed? Were things different than they had been? And so here's the scenario. Probably most of you are still directing the path of your own life, your children, your grandchildren by. You got to get good grades. Why? So you can get into a good college. Why? So you can get a good job. Why? So you can have a good retirement. That's been the focus of almost everybody's life for the last 100 years. Get good grades so you can go to college, so you can get a good job, so you can have a good retirement. I think those of us that are Christians need to think very seriously about those four things in any age. Is that really the focus of life? Good grades so I can get into a good college, so I can get a good job, so I can have a good retirement? I don't know if that's supposed to be the focus of our life or not, but regardless, we need to start thinking differently. And here's a few things that we need to be thinking about. Corporate jobs. We've seen over the last couple years here, those are not offering near the security as we thought they once were. I mean, as the woke and cancel culture and radical agenda is now penetrating almost all of big business, people are starting to realize, wait a minute, you can get fired and lose everything you thought you had because you won't go along to get along. You won't be happy to go to their re-education camps to learn how evil you really are. If you're not willing to apologize, you're out. If you're not willing to be quiet and silent. And right there I go, wait a minute. As a Christian, we can't do that. We can't hide inside of a big business job our whole life because it's a good job, but not let people know we're a Christian. Or not let people know that we stand for the truth, or not identify the errors of things that are being spoken about. If we live our whole life hiding, pretending to be someone we're not, to make money, we have to think, what in the world are we prostituting ourselves for? Just to cover a lie so we can get money. We'll do that. I don't think so. We need to be rethinking this, because that's where big business is going. That's why they've always been against small business. They've always been against the medium-sized business, because they ultimately want this, where it's big business and big government. That is the only two options for employment. So then they control all jobs. Well, when you control all jobs, you are in total control. And that's part of this, what they're setting up. Now, there is an old Twilight Zone episode that one of you sent me this week called The Obsolete Man. And in this episode, there's a man that is living in some future totalitarian society where once you are declared obsolete, you're executed. And his crime against humanity is he is a librarian.
Wordsworth, Romney, obsolescence.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace. This is Mr. Romney Wordsworth, in his last 48 hours on Earth. He's a citizen of the state, but will soon have to be eliminated. Because he is built out of flesh, and because he has a mind. Mr. Romney Wordsworth, who will draw his last breaths in the Twilight Zone.
It was aired for the first time exactly 60 years ago, and it's foretelling a future that might be if we allow the state to become all-powerful. But here's what's amazing. They say you're obsolete. Why? Because in this future totalitarian society, all books have been outlawed. So as a librarian, you're obsolete. We don't allow books anymore. And they go on to say, just like we don't allow pastors anymore, they've all been exterminated. Because the state has proven there is no God, so there's nothing for a pastor to do. They are obsolete. And it's just a very thought-provoking little episode, but it made me think. If you go to the World Economic Forum's website, they have predictions for 2030, which is only 9 years from now, and then into the future for the fourth industrial revolution. And they say once 90% of all jobs are obsolete, then people will be able to spend their time just doing things they enjoy. Well, that's an easy way to sell that. But let me just tell you, just like that little Twilight Zone picture into the future, the state would not spend one penny on one person that was obsolete for any reason. That would be money they could keep for themselves. They're not going to pay us all to exist. So if we allow them to create a society where none of us are necessary, we will be eliminated. We will be obsolete. And just like that Twilight Zone foretold 60 years ago, that's what will happen. You will be executed when you've outlived your usefulness to the state. So anyway, there were so many parallels. When one of you sent that to me, thank you for doing that. I watched it and go, that's exactly where we're going. That's exactly where the World Economic Forum is taking us. Up until the last 100 years, people had skills. People knew how to do things. I mean, they knew how to fix or build or do blacksmith work or repair engines or make things. Today, hardly any of us have any skills. We use technologies to help us do things, but if we did not have those technologies, we would be sunk. We wouldn't be able to do anything at all. Up until the last 50 years, I think college had some value to it because it was rigorous academics and it was challenging and it was something that helped build your character because it was tough. That is not the case anymore. At all. I noticed the difference just between the 1980s and 90s. 40 years ago, there was still a little rigor to college. And I remember in the early 80s being in college, and I had 5 to 6 hours every single day of homework and things to be doing to pass my classes. Then in the 1990s, just 10 years later, I went back to get a master's degree, which should be even a little harder than a bachelor's. And it was a joke. I maybe had 10 hours a semester of work per class. And it was just easy to make straight A's doing hardly anything. Things had changed because they started to transition the colleges, just like they did the K through 12 institutions, not to be about a good education, because people that are truly educated are dangerous to the state. It was more about an indoctrination and about really creating an immoral environment. Because when you get really immoral in your life, you start thinking about just yourself. And when you start thinking just about yourself, society starts to crumble. And of course, then it was about a brainwashing of causes and movements and twisting things so that you felt, I'm a college graduate. I get it. When you didn't get anything, you were completely ignorant to what was going on. And so that has changed a lot. We have to admit that. It's quickly become just what the K through 12 has become, just four more years of radical indoctrination. But there was a key difference, college, a key reason why they had to convince us to go and why they're trying to convince you to go. Because it's 4 years. Not only you can indoctrinate, you can make them immoral, but you've taken them away from their parents. So there's no one to tell them, hey, that's ridiculous what you're being taught. They're pulled away. And then in 4 years, they're just transformed into a completely different person that then usually hates their parents' beliefs, their parents' ideals, the traditions they were brought up with. They hate it. And so that's where we stand today. The bottom line to me as a father is, even if college was the only way to be successful in life, but there was a 90% chance I would lose my children because they would have been brainwashed to believe black is white and white is black, I would say, hey, boys, girls, just go work at Taco Bell and work your way up, and that'll be a fine life. Raise your families with the truth. Don't worry about it, because it's not worth taking a 90% chance. It's not like a little chance. It's not like, well, there's a small chance they might be brainwashed. It's our own numbers are between 80 and 92% that we're losing our young people within 1 year of college. So to me, that was, I would instantly go, kids, you're not going to college, period. Again, you might want them to, but other things we need to think about. If your child is going to go to college, if you're going to go to college, you need to be prepared for that. And I would say it would at least be a minimum of 1 year, 4 to 5 hours a day of training in worldview understanding, in apologetics, in understanding the times, at least a year, 4 or 5 hours a day. So full-time for a year training. If you haven't had that, you should not go, because you will be deceived into believing many things that are not true, but you'll think they're true. And the worst thing of all is you won't understand that you've been deceived. Another key thing that happens, and the reason they want all of us to go to college, is the debt aspect of it. It puts us in debt. And when we're in debt, just like the Bible says, the borrower is servant to the lender. Who's the lender? The big banks, the credit card companies. And so it also makes you an indentured servant to whatever job you have, because you can't quit that job and just go on to the next thing, because you have debts to pay. So they love getting us into debt any way possible. But college was a way they could get a young person buried in debt before they even got going in life. And so then they've got to go get a job, and they got to stick with it, even if they hate it, because I can't miss a payment. I'm behind on this. I'm behind on that. And the credit card companies give them the cards, even though they don't have any credit rating, and they get buried. And so it's a very clever scheme to lock them into a system. I've met so many men in my life that can't stand what they do for a living, but they were never able to quit and try something on their own or do something different because they had so much debt, they had to make the payments. They couldn't even miss a week's worth of work, or they'd be in trouble. And so it's a very key strategy. And they want you just locked into life, where you just, it's about working hard. Why? So I can pay the bills, and so the debt collector doesn't come after me. Where that's the purpose of your life, instead of glorifying God in everything that you do, influencing others with the truth, raising the next generation to love and fear Him. No, you don't have time for any of that. Just get to work, because interest rates are going up. And that's where we stand on that. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of my story to help you understand there are many ways to learn different things that you don't know and then become successful in those areas simply because you learn from those that do know those things. Real quick, my story, I went to college. I got a bachelor's degree, then I got a master's degree, and found it was hard to find a job even with that, even having jumped through the hoops they tell us you got to jump through. And so I had worked in a bunch of different restaurants in college just as part-time jobs and things, and had kind of liked that, and I thought, well, maybe I'd like to start a restaurant. But I knew I don't know how to start a restaurant. I've worked in a few, but I don't know how to start a restaurant. And this is what I want to encourage you to do, whether it's yourself thinking of, man, I wish I could do this or that, or your children or your grandchildren. If there's things that you'd like to do that you don't know how to do, you need to find those that know how to do them and then apprentice under them and learn from them. And that's what I did. I lived in Colorado Springs at the time. And I thought, I'd love to open a restaurant, but I don't know how to do that. And 90% of restaurants go out of business in their first 2 years. And I don't want to go out of business if I start a restaurant. So I drove around town looking for the busiest restaurant in Colorado Springs. And I found it. There was a restaurant with a line going out the door every single day. And I was like, that guy has to know what he's doing. And so I went in there and asked for a job and said, sir, I'd love to work for you, but I'd also like to learn the restaurant business. Could you teach that to me as I work here? And he said, okay. And I started working there. I loved it because he did know the restaurant business. I was just going to work there for a year or so, but ended up working there for 4 years because I enjoyed it so much. And he taught me everything about the restaurant business. Or then just a year later, I opened my own restaurant just down the road from him, doing something different. And our second year in business, we received one of the awards in Colorado Springs for the best restaurant. And I went down to the restaurant I'd been working in with that gentleman. I said, did you see the paper today? And he said, yeah. And I said, thank you. That's your award. You gave me 30 years worth of restaurant experience while I worked here. And I benefited from that, and that's why I won that award. And I just want to thank you so much for doing that. And I realized right then that was a secret I had unlocked that hardly any use anymore. We don't take advantage of those that are excellent at what they do, those that are experts, those that are just great at what they do. We always try to learn things the hard way or go to college. Who are the teachers at college? I had a business degree my first bachelor's degree. Who are the teachers of the business classes? Well, all of my professors were people that had never done a business in their life. They just studied business. So they talked a lot about business and business theory, but they'd never done business. So I'm trying to learn business from people that just talk about business and that don't do business. And that's what I learned instantly. When I had worked 6 months at that French cafe where I learned the restaurant business, I'd been there just 6 months and I realized I've already learned 10 times what I learned in a 4-year business degree from college. And I'm getting paid to do it. I'm not going in debt $20,000 a year. I'm getting paid and I've already learned far more. I mean, 10 times the amount. We need to rethink what we're doing. Another interesting thing before I go on with that story of what I did next is when I graduated from high school, my dad was helping me fill out college applications. And he said, what are you going to major in? I said, well, what's that? And he goes, well, what do you want to do the rest of your life? And I said to him this, I said, how in the world would I know what I want to do the rest of my life when I don't know what anyone does? And he looked at me and he said, you're right. I go, you're asking me to tell you what I want to major in. The only thing I'm going to be saying is maybe something I think that will make a lot of money or something. And most young people today, when you ask them, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever. If you ask them, why do you want to be that? 99% of the time is, oh, it makes a lot of money. So they're not picking what they were naturally designed to do, maybe what God had given them special abilities in or something. They're just picking whatever makes a lot of money. which means their whole life's going to be a train wreck. When your life is about money, you are going to forego all the most important things in life to make more money, and then your family's going to fall apart, your children are going to fall apart, and you're going to die an old man with a lot of money and realize my life was a total waste of time. We don't want that for our children. But that's the craziness of asking a young person, what do you want to do, when they don't have a clue what anyone does in any profession of any kind. They've been sitting in a chair for 13 years listening to people talk, most of the time about nothing or lying about how things really work. Well, so I did the restaurants. Then at 43 years old, I felt, I need to make a movie. I really felt I should make a movie. Well, I had never made a movie before. And it's a serious thing to do, because there's a reason why there's all those credits at the end of a movie. There's so many different things that go into making a movie. If you don't know what you're doing, it's probably going to not turn out too well. But I had learned from the restaurant business, if I feel God wants me to make a movie and I don't know how to make a movie, I need to find those that do know how. Well, I didn't know anybody that made movies. So I started watching documentary films by people that knew what they were doing. They were films I had seen by people, and they had been so powerful. They had moved me to action or to understand things I'd never understood before. And I remember one of them in particular was a movie called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, by Ben Stein. I'd remembered watching that movie and how powerful it was. So I started watching that movie over and over again, because I knew those people know how to make a movie. And I'd watch it three or four times a day. And I'd watch it sometimes with the sound off, so I could look at it, because it was so beautiful even to look at aesthetically, the cinematography and all the details of it. And I started to take notes. I took hundreds of pages of notes. How did they do the interviews? What did they look like? What were the colors involved in the different scenes? Were the colors conveying something, which they were? What was the music? Was the way they would transition? All the things. And I started to be a student of documentaries from people that knew what they were doing. And I took notes and notes, and then I bought a camera. And I started practicing that, filming my children all over the house. And we'd watch the interviews at night to see, are they any good or not? No, they're terrible. But slowly, after just about a month, we started watching the interviews back and go, wait a minute, that looks like Expelled, or that looks like such and such a movie. I go, those look good. And we started getting the interviews, and we started editing, and we had to do it all ourselves because we didn't know anyone that was involved in that. But it was neat how then that film, the very first film we'd ever made in our life, won the largest single cash prize film festival in America. And that, of course, was God doing that by answering our prayers and by directing our path. But I had learned, if you want to be good at something that you're not good at, go find someone that's good at it and study and apprentice underneath them so you can be good too. And so it's a key secret. So one thing I recommend for young people, even if they're thinking about college, or anybody, why don't you spend a few years just working for other people before you go to college to find out if you like what that job is all about? If you want to be a lawyer, why don't you go apprentice for 4 months in a law office and see exactly what they're doing all day? Is it as glorious as you thought it was? Are you as interested in it as you thought you would be? Or whatever the profession may be, from your church or from your friendships and connections, you should be able to find people that are in these different professions, and then you can go and just for free volunteer. Can I just help out, empty the trash cans, hang around here? I just want to see what you do for a living. And I've known many young men that have done this, and most of the time the people go, sure, be happy to. And some of them work their way up into a position in that because they really did like it. And many did that for a while and go, no, I don't like that at all. And they thankfully then didn't go to college and waste 4, 5, 6 years getting prepared to do that and find out, I don't even like that. Do you know 70% of people that go to college will never get a job in whatever the major was that they got their college degree in? 70%. percent. Why? Because they just picked a major because, oh, that sounds good, or I want to sound cool to my friends. Oh, I'm going into psychology, or I'm going into English literature, or whatever. It's not because they had an interest in that. It's not because they were gifted at that. It's not because that's what God wanted them to do. It's because they were forced at a young age to decide, what are you doing the rest of your life? When they didn't have a clue what anyone did, how anything worked, and that's what we've been doing with our young people. Okay, a few guidelines to start with, regardless of your age, regardless of what you're doing for a living, is this. You start with the question, what do I like? A lot of times, God has given us interest in things that He has gifted us in. So what do I like? That would be something to ask a young person, or ask yourself and make a list. All the things that you like, you enjoy this. And then secondly, what are you good at? And then make a list of that, all the things you're good at. So you look at, here's the things I like, here's the things I'm good at. And then from those two lists, you go, what do I have access to? What are things that are fall in line with my likes, the things I'm good at, and then I have access to? Maybe you know someone in a certain business that overlaps with some of your likes and things you're good at. Hey, maybe that man will let me come apprentice under him and learn that thing to see if I would like to do that too. On a side note on that topic, I've found as I travel the country, and I love talking to older men, there are so many men in this country, thousands and thousands of them, that have built up a successful business doing many different things, and they don't have anybody to take it over. They don't have anybody there. Their children have gone off and lived somewhere else and do something different or whatever, and they don't have anyone to pass their business down to. I've talked to so many men that tell me about this interesting thing they do, and I ask them, are your children going to take that over for you? And 90% of the time, no, they live in California and they're doing something different. Whatever. And I'm like, if there was a young man or a young lady in that area and they were working with them, I guarantee you, if you went an apprentice for them and started working with them and were doing an excellent job and you were learning that business and liked it, you could probably step right in there and slowly buy it from them or take it over. That happened to me even, but we ended up moving. There was the restaurant I had worked for, even though I'd started my own restaurant. When that man got older, he said, would you like to take this over? And it was a very successful business, making over $400,000 a year. Not to mention that, but I'm saying that's 25 years ago, it was making that kind of money. And he said, I will just sell it to you. You can just make me payments out of what it earns. I don't have to get a bank loan or anything. But we had already moved to another state. And so I felt God was wanting me to do different things. But there's so many opportunities like that. In so many different businesses in your area. You walk around, you watch those successful businesses, and you look at the ones that are being run by people that are older and get to know them a little. Ask them, do you have someone to take this over when you're not wanting to do this anymore? And most of the time they'll say, no. And those are all opportunities, incredible opportunities. But so you, what do I like? What am I good at? And what do I have access to get more experience from those that know what they're doing so I can learn if, hey, this is a fit for who I am and who God designed me to be. Because I really believe we're entering an era that we need to be self-employed. We need to be the bosses hiring other people so we can provide jobs for those that we know and build up healthy, strong, successful businesses. We cannot depend on the system to provide for us. We need to be the ones that are providing for others. We need to be the ones that are breaking away from this automated, computerized, obsolete world of the World Economic Forum, and we need to say no. And some of the areas, the key areas we can get into with that are the service area, because it's going to be hard as things go automated for the service industry. Even McDonald's, I bet you within 15 years, McDonald's won't have any employees. It will be all automation, which means their food will take even another step down, lower than it already is, because you can only, when people aren't involved in the seasoning and the tasting and the stuff, you can only turn out a product at this level. And so I think all those type of things, mowing lawns, Just on a side note, my sons were wanting to start a lawn mowing business. And they mowed our lawn a lot, but they're like, how does that happen? How does that work? And I said last summer, why don't you go, your one friend that has a lawn mowing business, why don't you go work for him for the summer and learn it? So they did. And about halfway through the summer, they realized, we got this thing down. So they started their own lawn mowing business. And by the end of the summer, they had over 100 lawns, just having half a summer to work with. But they learned from someone that knew what he was doing. He'd been doing it for years and had built up a very successful business. So that's just another example that popped into my mind. But the service industry, lawn, restaurants, things where you're coming to people's homes to do things for them, those are key areas that people will always be doing a better job than robots, even if robots at some point are able to do those things. Because one blessing of all this is, because everything's stepped down so far, there's no competition in anything. That's the good news. If you can smile, obey, follow directions, enjoy influence and interaction with other people, you will be successful in whatever business you start. If you understand the business side of it, but then you have the people side of it, to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the key to any business, where you love them, you enjoy serving them. I love the restaurant business because it was fun just showing people such a good time. They were just overwhelmed when they left. Like, I've never been treated like that in my entire life. And we're like, good. You're important to us. Thank you so much for coming to dine with us tonight. It's a lot of fun doing things with excellence, and we need to get back to that. But I really think we need to start thinking differently, because we can't keep losing 80 to 90% of our children at college. And the other 10% that make it, they've been dumbed down in a very unique way, where then they're lukewarm, as you would say. They don't have the strong convictions they once had. They kind of get, I've seen some of the kids that have made it through college, and the parents say, oh, they made it through, they didn't get brainwashed. But I see their life and how it's unfolding and how they are doing things the world's way instead of God's way. And I say, that wasn't as successful as you think. You will see in the next generation it start unraveling, because there was a lot more damage done at college than you realize while they were there. Obviously, the more skills you have, the more opportunities. But if you don't have the skills, you just need to get around those that do and learn from them to open up more and more opportunities for yourself. Now, I know this might be a different way of thinking to a lot of you, but you still need to think about it and ponder it, because I just think over the next 10 to 20 years, things are going to change so dramatically that we are going to have wished we are not working for big business or big government, as the computerized automation comes into every area of business. I mean, doctors, I think medical doctors will be computerized algorithms. There's no point for a doctor. You just input, here's your symptoms, and it prints out, here's what you need to do. Engineers will be obsolete in no time. To design a bridge or whatever, they're going to easily be able to teach a computer how to do that, where it can design it perfectly without error, and you don't have to pay it anything. So when we see the future, and that all the technical things that once made us very skilled people and very valuable to big business, those are all going to be disintegrating, and we're going to become obsolete in that society if we aren't doing things that are people related, which is great if you're a Christian, so you can be sharing the gospel, you can be doing a great job, and you can be enjoying others like you should. But I think now is the time to start changing our thinking. Now's the time to do it. And not when we wake up and realize, oh my goodness, I spent all this time in college, I have all this debt, and now the company I work for has just ordered some new top-of-the-line computers that do what I used to do for them. And now I'm obsolete. You don't want that to happen. You have so many skills and ability. A couple last key points to think about. Should Christian parents be asking their children when they're real little, what do you want to do with your life? Does that make sense to start forcing a little child to pick what they're going to do, again, when they don't know what anything does? Shouldn't we, as Christian parents, be saying, what do you think God wants you to do with your life? Do you know? No, Daddy, I don't. Well, you should be praying about that. God, what do you want me to do? I think so many of us, 99%, are not doing what God designed us to do when He created us and knit us together inside of our mother's womb. I don't. I think all of us kind of pick what we're going to do, and then we just go do it and say, God, would you bless what I'm doing? I did that for many, many years. And then at 32, I said, God, what do you want me to do? I'm tired of doing my own thing. What do you want me to do? What did you design me to do? And He completely had me change courses from the business things I've been doing to be a state representative, to make films, to speak on what's going on in our country. I was like, isn't that amazing? You had a completely different plan. None of that was in my plan. And I had zero interest in any of that. But I'm so glad now that you allowed me to do that. But I think a lot of us, those of you watching this, I don't care if you're 40, 50, 60, are you really doing exactly what God designed you to do? You can stop at any age and say, stop, I'm getting off of this rat race and I want to do what God designed me to do. Even from a business point of view, it's funny. Do you know Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's? Started his first McDonald's when he was 54 years old. Colonel Sanders with Kentucky Fried Chicken. I believe, from my memory of reading all those great books on those guys that started those things, I think he was almost 70 years old when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. 70. That's when he'd finally found, hey, this is what I'm good at and know how to do, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing this. There's a lot of stories like that. Don't think I'm too old. I can't change what I've been doing. You can pray about it, and if God pulls your heart in a different direction to finally do what you were designed to do, you can do it, and He can direct your path in that. I don't know what you're supposed to do, so I'm not saying, listen to me and do what I tell you, quit your jobs, don't go to college. Maybe you need to go to college, but if you're going to college, you have to be prepared to go to college, because 90% of what you'll get, even if you're an engineering student, will be propaganda. 90% of it. You'll get 10% of mathematics in engineering classes, 90% of total pollution, and then be living, if you're on campus, in a culture that is vile to the core. I mean, so you have to face those realities. But I wanted you to think maybe differently about some things and just, again, start realizing America is still the land of opportunity. There's so many ways to make it and to make a living and to have it be family friendly. That's another question we should be always asking. If your son says, I want to be a medical doctor, you should ask him, why do you want to be a medical doctor? And find out if there's substance to it or if it's just a lust for money. If that's a good answer, then you say, is that family friendly? Can you do that in such a way where you can still get married and have children to continue this thing going on like it's supposed to, generation after generation being faithful to the Lord? There's many professions you cannot. You cannot go into that profession because it's 70 hours a week. Well, let me tell you this, you cannot work 70 hours a week and fulfill all the other things God has asked you to do with your marriage and your family if He blesses you in those ways. If you're just going to be single and make money, then that's fine, but make sure that's what God wants you to do. But I don't think you can work more than 40 hours a week and fulfill all the other things God has asked you to do. So you need to get creative. You need to think of different income streams. You need to look for things you can do from home so that you're there with your family more, to have more influence, to get your children and wife being able to help you in whatever you're going to do. The family was meant to be a blessing. And if you think of businesses that can be done from home or in different ways where then your children, as they get older, are actually helping you in that. They have helped me in everything. I couldn't have made the films. I couldn't have traveled. I couldn't have fulfilled all the orders for Agenda and everything else if I didn't have my children and my wife helping me. I wouldn't have been able to do a fraction of that. I couldn't do these things, Agenda Weekly, if I didn't have my family helping me. I wouldn't have time to do that and still fulfill my duties to my family and to God. And so, anyway, in closing, I just I want to encourage you again, think outside the box. Pray about things. Ask God, what would you have me to do? And then make those lists of what do you like? What are you good at? And what opportunities has God put before you where you can realize, you know what? I can get experience in this and this and this area right where I am. And then start walking down that road and see what doors God opens for you. But be careful about just jumping through the hoops the world tells you to jump through. Because I've found almost all the really successful people I've met in my life, most of them didn't go to college. And the ones that did, if you ask them, was college valuable in helping you be successful? They will honestly say, not at all. That's my testimony. I have 2 college degrees, and they were the biggest waste of time of my entire life. 99% of everything I learned had no application to helping me be successful in all the different roles that I must play in life. So I hope that in some way was a blessing to help you start thinking in a different way and help you realize there's lots of options out there. And just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean there's someone else that knows how to do it. Look for the businesses that are successful, that you look at and think, wow, that's kind of a neat business. Go work there. Find out how they do what they do. Look for businesses run by people that are getting older. This could be an opportunity for you, some of you men watching that have jobs you don't care for, and you'd love to have something you could do as a family. Look for jobs or look for businesses in your community that are successful, that you're interested in, and that the person running it is older than you, realizing they're going to stop working before I do. Maybe I could be the one to apprentice under them and then take their business over so they don't just close it down, and then could pay them something as a retirement for them from the business. It might be a win-win for both people. But anyway, thank you again for watching. And make sure you watch The Obsolete Man down below. I think it'll open your eyes to where we are headed, even though that was made 60 years ago, but it has so much insight for the future because he understood history and where totalitarianism always ends. It ends in declaring the state is everything and mankind that is made in the image of God is nothing. Thanks again, and until next week, God bless you.